Good morning. I'm so glad that you have come to worship the Lord Jesus with us on this weekend, that we have celebrated a very special anniversary in the life of our country and celebrating God's many blessings to us. My name is Joe Creech. I'm pastor of service and impact here. A special welcome back to Mark and Brandy Nix as they have returned from sabbatical. They did bring back Lucy and Jude also, and so we're glad to have the Nix family back with us and look forward to hearing more from them in the future. Our sermon series for the summer is called Plot Twist, as we examine the different miracles of Jesus and how expectations take different twists and turns. This morning, we look at one of my favorite stories in the life of Jesus, a story in which many of us can see ourselves in very challenging and perhaps even powerful ways. As we come to God's Word, if you're willing and able, please stand once again. We do so out of respect and honor for the truth that God has given us in love. Hear God's Word as found in Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come together this morning as your people needing to hear from you. We've just celebrated the anniversary of our country, and we give you great thanks for your many, many blessings to us and the freedom we have to worship you, and even more for the freedoms that you have given us in Christ. You are the Lord of the nations and the Savior of the world. Father, would you come now and meet with us? By your Spirit, give us ears to hear and give us grace to trust and follow hard after you. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you die, well, great way to start a sermon, right? But when you die, what would you most want to be known for? In one word, actually a better question might be this: what would you like to be known for today? No one really wants to be known for some things, although that may well be what most describes them. Things like complaining or criticalness, bitterness, greed. Regarding these negative characteristics, Scotty Smith says this: when we indulge a spirit of entitlement, comparison, judgmentalism, envy, fear, and ungratefulness, we're simply giving a band of joy assassins and attitude poisoners free rein in our hearts. To the contrary, most people would want to be known for positive virtues like faithfulness and kindness, humility, generosity. And from the passage today, you probably have already figured out where the sermon is going, and that is to gratitude. Recognizing that every blessing is from God. Gratitude is so unique. It gives rise to and it fuels all the other virtues. Gratitude deepens faithfulness and kindness, humility, generosity, and so on. Can you think of one virtue that is not fed by gratitude? 5 weeks ago, I preached on spiritual warfare and our standing strong against the evil one. And in some ways, today's message is a continuation of that message. In fact, gratitude is a very powerful form of spiritual warfare. Well, if gratitude is not a virtue that defines us, how do we get a change in our perspective? The story is told of a rancher who was driving down a dirt road. His dog was in the back of his pickup and his faithful horse in the trailer behind. And he lost control and had a terrible accident. A highway patrolman came along, and he was an absolute animal lover. But he saw the horse first, and realizing the serious nature of its injuries, he drew his sidearm and he did what needed to be done. Then he saw the dog, also hurt critically, and he did what he had to do. And finally, he located the cowboy. He was tossed from the truck across from a ditch. There were obvious broken bones, and the patrolman said, "Hey, are you okay?" And the cowboy took one look at the officer and said, "Never felt better." His perspective changed. May God grant to us a change of perspective this morning in regard to gratitude. Not faking it, but stopping, pondering, remembering, and naming the things for which we are grateful. So let's look into gratitude as we see the beautiful change of perspective in our message this morning. A dead man walking became a champion of gratitude. We know that Jesus was traveling with his disciples between Galilee and Samaria, and coming to a village, they encounter 10 lepers. Let's ask some questions. The first one, what do we know about leprosy? We know that it was a dreaded disease with no cure at all. It literally would eat away the flesh and it would destroy the nerves. It was very contagious and it carried great shame with it. Well, what do we know about the lepers of Luke 17? We know there were 10 lepers. Verse 12 tells us that 10 leprous men stood at a distance in keeping really with the Old Testament law that was laid down. The lepers were cast out of the cities and had to remain at least 150 feet away from healthy people. And if they approached a city, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that others would avoid them. We know that lepers were regarded as already dead, really the walking dead. We know the 10 lepers were of mixed nationalities, with at least one being a Samaritan and the others Jewish. We know that the Jews and the Samaritans absolutely hated each other. We are told that they met Jesus, and that changed everything for them. Their voices had not yet been taken from them by the disease, and they all cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So our next question, how does Jesus respond to the plea of the lepers? Verse 14, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Why in the world would he tell them to go see the priest? The normal practice, if a leper were cured, would be to go to a priest who would act as a kind of health inspector to certify that the individual was indeed healed and could be integrated back into society. I'm so glad that's not the role of pastors today. We do a number of things, but thankfully we don't have that role. Well, Jesus tells them to go and show yourselves to the priest. How do the lepers respond to that? You wonder if they stood and they looked at each other, if they had some dialogue. They were still leprous. And they debated it for a while. Go to the priest? Really? We're not healed. Whatever went on, they obeyed. And then it happened. In their obedience, verse 14, and as they went, they were cleansed. What about us? How do we handle things when we know God has told us to do something? So often we bargain with God and we say, "If you will do this or that, God, then I will do what you say." even when we know already what he wants. In a movie I saw years ago, Burt Reynolds is out swimming in the ocean, and he is caught in the ocean current. And he is very far from shore, and he cries out, "God, save me, and I will give you everything that I have." The next scene shows him about halfway out from the shore, and he says, "God, save me, and I will give you half of everything I have." Next scene, he's pulling himself up on shore, and he says, "Whew, I made it." And he goes his way. So often, we bargain with God. We think that we have to feel something before we do it. We think, "I can't love that person," or "I can't forgive that one," or "I can't give that money because I don't feel like it." Or we say, "God, if you will do this or that, then I will do my part." You know what? God so often blesses in the doing, in the trusting, and not before. The ball's in our court to respond by his grace to his commands. May we be a people not making up new rules, but who obey in trust. The real issue comes now as we ask the question, how did the lepers respond once they were healed? Verse 15, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." 1 out of 10 being healed returned to Jesus, praising him. His perspective had changed. The man came in humility, falling on his face before Jesus, and he expressed his gratitude. There are a number of things for us to see here. The one man had been standing 150 feet from Jesus a short time before, and now he falls on his face at the feet of Jesus in praise. This one who was not only grateful for the healing, he was grateful to the healer. A walking dead man was transformed, and he shows his gratitude, praising Jesus. While all 10 men were healed, they indeed wanted the healing of Jesus, but only the one wanted Jesus, and he fell on his face at his feet. What about us? Have we ever fallen at the feet of Jesus? Have you ever been prostrate, literally or figuratively, flat on your face for any reason, either pleading or praising? Do we just want his blessing, or do we want Jesus? Then the amazing statement is added, verse 16, "Now he was a Samaritan." To the hearers of the story, this would be shocking. It would be scandalous. A Samaritan? This group was comprised of at least one Samaritan, and the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. And the culture of the day, hearing that a Samaritan had done this, would be incredulous. They wouldn't know how to handle it. And yet, amazingly, this dreaded disease had brought them together. They strongly hated each other. This disease had brought them together. There is a depth of common suffering which can bring a bond to otherwise very different people. Some of you have experienced that, perhaps in a cancer ward or in AA or some other group. For me, it was in the heart operation floor 27 years ago as I had surgery. And I found out afterwards, as they gather us all together, I was the youngest in the room by about 20 years, and yet there was a bond in that. This Samaritan was part of a group, but he alone returned to express gratitude. And so we ask, how does Jesus respond to the gratitude of the one leper? He responds with three questions. Verse 17, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Where are the nine. Where would we be if we were healed? In Christ, we have been healed. What about us, the redeemed, saved by grace? Are we people of gratitude? God's word ties grace and gratitude closely together. The Greek word for grace is charis, and the Greek word for gratitude is eucharistian. Gratitude has the root word grace right in the middle of it. One verse ties those two words together beautifully. And then that is in 2 Corinthians 4:15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace, charis, that is reaching more and more people may cause gratitude, eucharistian, to overflow to the glory of God. This connection of grace and gratitude is lost in our language, but not in the original. They go together, grace and gratitude. His grace should always cause gratitude in you and me. After asking where the nine healed lepers were, then Jesus responds with two personal, encouraging statements to the Samaritan. Verse 19, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Pointing out the fact that this man was healed not only from the disease of leprosy, but also from his sin. There was transformation of body, heart, attitude, and perspective in the one leper, and gratitude was expressed. What about us? Are we a grateful people? Would anyone describe you as being grateful? Think about those in your realm. Who is the most filled with gratitude person that you know? Well, how do we develop this attitude of gratitude? Let me mention a few insights and applications for us to ponder. Do you know that you, in your sin, were a walking dead man or lady, boy or girl? Do you and I understand that our heart condition, absent the gracious work of Christ, is worse than leprosy? I was a walking dead man, just like the leprous men. But years ago, God reached down and He touched me and He healed me and He gave me new life. Perhaps you too. Or it could be today for you. This morning, a question for you is, have you trusted in Christ? There was no cure for leprosy. Likewise, for our sinful heart condition that separates us from God, there is no cure except through trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. You cannot be good enough to cure yourself of your sin any more than the leper could cure himself of the leprosy. We must appeal to Jesus to have mercy on us. We have Jesus, who is not our health inspector, but rather our health provider. He gave Himself for us. The nine healed lepers were more interested in the healing than in the healer. What about us? We can be more interested in the blessing than in the one who blesses. We're called to be grateful, which is the main point of our story. We are to be grateful for the great gift of healing and new life in Christ that has been given to us. We were the walking dead, and God touched us. And He says, your faith has made you well. We were among the 10 lepers. The question we must ponder is whether we will be with the one or with the nine. I can think of a few friends right now walking pretty tough paths, and yet they have a perspective of gratitude. One friend on a very hard road told me, if God never does anything else for me, it is all good because He already has done so much for me. He lives with a perspective of gratitude, and he is an absolute joy to be with. Last week, I decided to take some time and sit down and write down what I was grateful for. A couple hours later, I had a few pages filled, and I was nowhere near finished. I commend the exercise to you. I challenge you to do something similar. It will start changing your perspective, I guarantee you. We think, I need to get past this or that, and then I will be grateful. No matter what you are dealing with, you can be grateful. What seems like a very short and a very long 11 weeks since Rita, my wife of 50 years, was called to be with the Lord, I have found that hurt and pain can coexist with gratitude. In fact, grief and gratitude can go together very well. We saw that one thing that united the Jews, the Jew and the Samaritans, or the Samaritan and the Jews, was the same terminal illness. The other thing that has the potential to unite those of different cultures and races and circumstances is the gospel of grace, the love of Christ. Just as in a leper colony, the divisions fall away, so it is to be in the kingdom of God, the church. We are to see each other not as rich or poor, not by nationality or skin tone, not as young or old or male or female, but rather we are to see each other as forgiven, saved by grace, image bearers of God. Do you know and do you have a sense of family with your brothers and sisters who are different from you? This is one of the most beautiful things that I have learned in knowing our ministry partners here and around the world. We are one family, neighbors near and far. In conclusion, how long has it been since you really took the time to stop and ponder God's love and to express your gratitude for His blessings in your life? I encourage you to turn off the TV or the phone and list those things for which you are grateful. Sometimes I think that as we get older, it all becomes too routine and too mundane. We get grumpy and we lose the wonder of His love, and there is no gratitude. C.S. Lewis in The Chronicles of Narnia, the book Prince Caspian, has Aslan, the Christ figure, walking alongside Lucy in the valley. And he says to her, every year you are older, you will see that I am bigger. As we grow older and more mature in Christ, we should be seeing more and more the greatness and the power and the love and the bigness of Christ. And we ought to love and trust Him more and more. Is God growing bigger for you, or is He fading? Are you a grateful person? Friends, you and I may need a change of perspective. Experiencing grace gives us that new perspective. I encourage each of us to view life through the lens of gratitude. Your life will be changed, your family will be changed, and your church will be changed. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 calls us to be overflowing with gratitude. Can you imagine living with a church, a family, friends who have gratitude as their distinguishing characteristic? I want to be the one, but I want to be the one among many. What about you? Would you join me in seeking to live out your life by God's grace with great gratitude? Someone said, grace received should lead to gratitude expressed, and gratitude expressed should lead to worship given. That's what we see in this passage. May you and I be known as people of gratitude and praise. The question of Jesus echoes down to us even today. But the nine, where are they? As we go from here, we cannot change the story of Luke 17 and the response of the nine. However, if the story hits home, we can change our stories by God's grace. We can change our perspective. It is your choice to make. Let's write the next chapter in our lives as individuals, as families, and as a church in such a way that we are known as grateful people. Jesus changes everything. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word, which is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you that you are truly our health provider in every sense. Give us more grace to ponder all you have done and all that you are doing, and let us be truly grateful. Forgive us when we forget. We need you, Father. So continue the good work you have begun for the glory of Christ. Amen.